Beyond the Barbell is a proud supporter of the Ultimate Hawaiian Trail Run. Now here's Rory Zambard with a message inviting you to join her and hundreds of other people for this exciting event.
Join us for the Ultimate Hawaiian Trail Run on September 17, 2016 on the beautiful island of Kauai, Hawaii. We have a 5K, a 10K, and a 5K team run options through one of the most beautiful parts of the island. 100% of the proceeds goes to supporting CrossFit Poipu's kids program that's free for all of the kids on the island. Registration and tickets are going quickly. There are very few spots left. You can follow us to our website for more information and registration, www.ultimatehawaiiantrailrun.com. Thank you, and we hope to see you there.
All right, guys, welcome back to Beyond the Barbell. I'm Ben Alderman.
I'm Blair Morrison. We're sitting down with Nick Uranker, a two-time CrossFit Games athlete, sponsored by many fine establishments, including Tupud. Anybody else you want to mention?
Bear Complex, Epic Results, which is a supplement company, not in CrossFit. But
Epic, though.
Epic.
Not, obviously, nobody who makes shirts.
Yeah. No. Currently still searching.
The worst athlete for a shirt sponsorship is Nick Uranker.
I feel like that actually is probably why, because that's the first thing everybody says. Like, well, why would anybody ever put a shirt on you? I'm like, well, I would wear it, but that, why am I going to get free?
I got to have something to take off.
Yeah. Look at that.
Oh, you had a Bear Complex tattoo.
Bear Complex tattoo. Wow. Did that hurt? Did that hurt?
Not a lot.
Not a lot?
I'm starting to crack.
I heard the ribs
are... It hurts when you try to rub it back off.
The ribs are really sensitive, you know?
Yeah.
It's a bad spot to get tattooed. So what are you doing out here this this weekend? You're not competing this year? You're just hanging out? What's going on?
Yeah, well, spectating. It's actually one of those things where after you make it the first time, you kind of say, I'm never going back until going back to compete. And I've not actually ever been here as a spectator. So I think this was the first year where I was like, you know what? Kind of experience it, see how it makes you feel walking out and, you know, seeing guys that you compete with and you're watching them compete and you know that you didn't earn your spot. So it's actually been really nice. You get to meet people. You don't get to walk around and mingle and say hey when you're downstairs all day.
Right, anymore. Like the year you were in the games the first time was? 2011. And then last year, 2015, big difference in the scale of the events. And in particular, I would say, just to your point, the sequestering of athletes. Like back in 10 and 11, the first 2 years at the then Home Depot Center, you had a lot of access to athletes, right? We would walk out into the stands,
yeah. You had
see your family. You were kind of just chilling down in a cement tunnel. Last year, talk about the situation that the athletes were in that made it different.
Oh, yeah. You basically get pull-up service. You pull up, show your badge, and you never see a face. I mean, people will stand around, but most of the time we get here early enough, or no one's here, they don't know where you are, so kind of walk in, there might be a few people say, hey, take a picture or two, but by the time you walk through the gates, you're never going to see another soul unless they're a judge, an athlete, or a coach. And it's, you don't actually want to leave. I mean, I don't know if you guys have been inside the individual tent, and you shouldn't have because you're not allowed in it. Teams can't go in.
I think I saw it from like the boundary last year or maybe 2 years ago.
Well,
but definitely not this year.
So when you go in, like they have people standing at the door, and unless you're an individual, women or male, you can't go in. So teams can't walk in. No one else can walk in. When you go in, it's like 40 couches. In the middle, there's like this giant four-screen TV, couches all the way around, and then there's TVs all over the place, and it's kind of the community area for the athletes. And then there's a male locker room and a female locker room where you have your own locker. You can go in there and just watch TV with, you know.
There's showers?
No showers. They don't need showers. They need showers, actually.
Who needs showers?
Now, here's the thing. I don't.
Shirts.
That could have been something that was brought in this year, and I will not know. So I can't answer that, but it obviously always changes. But it's awesome when you're there, but you miss the community and, you know.
Right. Well, that's kind of what I was getting to is the athletes are no longer a part of the games experience except when they're on the floor.
Yeah, no, I actually was just talking to somebody, and I think one of the things that's changed a lot about the sport is now just because you make it as an individual doesn't mean you're now a CrossFit celebrity. I was actually talking to somebody and I said, name 25 guys that are in the games right now. And you would be, most people would be like, oh, okay, but then you would start off with your top 10 and then you'd think a minute and you'd be like, oh yeah, there's that guy and there's this guy, and you'd be like, no, he was there like in 14.
Right.
And then there's this guy and you're like, oh shoot, he's not there now. And then you would stop. And unless somebody makes a push, you know, like what Fikowski's done, somebody puts their name out there, does something that everybody looks at, you're going to go home as a games athlete that no one's going to know because they're not going to see you unless you've done something to get your face and your name out there. So it's the dynamics of an individual athlete are totally different now. I mean, you walk around and you have your shirt on and people are seeing you, they're going to, oh my gosh, you have no idea.
That's true.
So this year, you know, you didn't make it, but talk about the regional experience and what that was like, you know, that weekend.
I don't want to talk about that.
You have to talk about that.
So, the wound is too fresh.
No, it's one of those where, honestly, I told a lot of people that if I would have pretty much kept training how I was training leading up to regionals, I would have not even thought that the games were a possibility. Like, that regional was everything that you could have, my worst nightmare, essentially.
Programming-wise.
Obviously, the snatch one, not bad, but I hadn't been snatching that much, so I was actually worried about that event. And then strict muscle-ups. I just don't do strict muscle-ups. So that event right there, I felt fine. I'd done, like, 8 rounds in practice. I was never going to finish it, but I'm like, I'm okay with that. But I finished 4 rounds in about 5:20. And literally forgot how to do a strict muscle up. And I didn't get another round in 15 minutes. I didn't get another round. And I, the beauty of that is my mind was clear. I was calm. It wasn't like I blew up. And I told myself at about the 6-7 minute mark, you know what? If this is how it goes, you're okay. Like right now, we've got 13 more minutes. You're going to keep trying. You're going to try to fix whatever's going on. You obviously can't talk to anybody. I looked around a few times for some secret that was going to pop out of the air from some individual like this. It didn't happen. And when it ended, you know, I just brush it off and move on.
What keeps you sane in the middle of a workout like that when things just tend to go to crap and you're just like, man, and then you're like, hey, I'm going to be okay. What is that?
Well, I think that workout in general was a slow workout. So you kind of already were in that mindset. If we're talking, you know, a sprint, you're going to be freaking out and going crazy. But on that, it was almost like people were resting no matter what and still finishing. So for me, it was the type of workout that it was allowed for that to happen. Because especially knowing you're going to get 8 rounds and you're like, all right, I got 13, 14 minutes to do, you know, what, 8 muscle or not very many muscle ups. So,
yeah.
So have you done some since?
No.
Just banking that there'll be no repeat on that workout.
No, just basically saying, you know what, right now, I gotta clear my, I'm on a mental deload. Physically fine, mentally broken. And so for me, yeah, am I gonna work my butt off on them? Yeah, but right now, I don't need to put that back in my head. Just kind of enjoying family, enjoying, not having to think about even enjoying training, because if I don't want to train and force it, I'm just not going to train right now.
I'm kind of curious. I don't know if you know the answer to this, but to qualify in 2011 and then qualify again in 2015, there can't be many people that have had a 4-year gap between qualifications, right?
Yeah, true.
We should get our crack staff on that, see if we can look that
up. I believe China Cho was there in 9,
yeah,
and I think that 14 was when she made it back. So I think she had a one year on me.
5-year gap.
Yeah. So I think that, but I think that I'm second.
Still pretty impressive.
It's really impressive, man.
You want to know what's the least, I think an interesting thing was after I made it, the first thing people said was, well, since you made it, are you done? And I said, wouldn't you have thought that after I didn't make it 3 times, I would have been done? Like, what kind of a statement is that? Like, you work 4 more years to get that again, and you get it. And in actuality, you probably talked to a lot of guys. I had a lot of conversations with a lot of the rookies who last year, most of them aren't here right now, and they were all talking about in the middle of the games, next year I'm going to do this better, and I'm going to do this differently when I get here. And I said, you know when my next year was? Right now. And in 2011, I missed out on so much because I was worried about what, you know, the longevity of my career. Oh, yeah, like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Like, of course. And then you don't get back. And the minute I walked back in, it was like, this might be it. Like, I might say I'm going to go 10 more years, but I may never make it back. And I'm taking in every moment and every, just everything that I was given, or that earned, obviously. But in those moments, like, you don't, just people don't. That's a deep thing because you just expect it. I mean, you've been to the games a few times. Like, you just know. Like, the next time you go, it's until the final workout and the final minute you realize you're done, and now you got to go back to the drawing board for a year, and that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, for sure. I remember another guy who did that was Patrick Burke from the Southwest region. He's in Colorado. He was there in 08, 09, 10, and 11. And then missed 12, 13, 14, and made it back last year in 2015, I think.
I think it was 14 that
he
made
it. Was it 14
he
made it back?
Yeah. I know he missed like one or two, and then he made it back.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's such a cool thing to be able to do, man. So, I guess your head is, right now, you're kind of deloading mentally, but long-term, you're still going back to the games.
Yeah. I'm pushing for it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one thing you kind of realize after four times not, you know, 2 out of 6 in baseball would be amazing. Right. So I'm going off of that right now. Because I don't count 2010 when I didn't qualify for regionals. So that one doesn't count. But, yeah, I'm definitely – I don't think you can ever stop. I don't think you can – like you said, you're going to keep training no matter what. You may not – the ultimate goal may change a little bit, but it's still a goal.
So – you talk about like going back to the drawing board, and you're like, man, that's kind of like it's a hard thing to do, right? After the games, you know what it takes to get there. Then you see how hard it is once you're there, and then on top of that, you got a family, right? Like, how do you balance it all? I know it's not easy. You know, I'm sitting across from you, like in the exact same position. You know, I mean, except for not making the games, but I mean,
yeah.
it's not easy. Gunshots all around at the CrossFit games.
We're in South Bend.
Yep. So. Yeah, so how do you keep that balance?
Honestly, this year was probably the best year I had of that, and maybe it showed. but I kind of, like Rich said it, where, you know, the biggest difference between being team and individual is that when he goes home, he's home. And that's one thing that I kind of had to learn over the years, and last year I did an awesome job. Like, literally, when I wasn't in the gym, I was with my girls and I was with my wife and I was focused on just that time with them, and not stressing about like, okay, if I missed something, that was my choice. Or I'm the one that didn't give myself that time. Or if I had 5 hours, I wasted 2. Like, that was on me. So I allowed myself to accept that, and really be able to schedule out and prioritize. And, you know, a priority is my family and business and my wife and making sure that I have time for them and not, again, what we do is not just about the games. So, I mean, I tell everybody, it's 11 months, 3 weeks, 4 days of figuring out how to have the best 3 days of your life to then go on to the games. And no one can put into what's going on in your head, physically, family-wise, you know, stress, business, sleep, all these other factors play in for 11 months, 3 weeks, and 4 days to then determine what happens for those last 3 days.
Right.
And, yeah.
I think a lot of athletes talk about the sacrifice they have to make in their family life or their personal life to be an athlete or a business owner. Maybe talk about the flip side of that. What does being an athlete allow you to do for your family and for your daughters in particular? You know, that you know, in another walk of life. Oh, Brendan Fjord, back in the house. In another walk of life, like, say you're a 9-to-5 guy, like, that you wouldn't be able to give them. You know, what are some of the advantages of being an athlete for your family?
Well, I was a 9-to-5 guy when I first made the games. And
what did you do?
I was a manager at AT&T. There's actually a video online of that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Have you seen it?
Uh-uh.
Oh. They couldn't get to the gym, and they had to come to my work. And at lunch, I went to the park and I worked out, and then I went back to work and didn't tell any of my employees. Like, that's just what I would do on the day to make some time. But what I can give them is honestly, with the business and with my family, like, I'm there a lot with them. Like, I can be. I have the option. I have the choice. And being an athlete, like, with sponsors that help financially, and then with the business and stuff, I don't have to pull as much there. And it's kind of, you know, I show them, like, that I have passions, and I have things that, you know, I want not to have you think of me only as your dad, so then when you're all of a sudden a mother, or I have two girls, so that you're just a mom. And, like, I want you to be able to have your things. And that's what's beautiful, is they understand, like, oh, daddy works out, and, you know, he has fun, and he loves it. And then I get to wrestle around with them, run around, play with them, and do things that, like, they're constantly telling their friends how strong I am, and I'm stronger than their dad, and...
Oh, this is the best thing ever, right?
Oh, it's so awesome. So you never want to let that go.
Like, I don't... Yeah, and you know they're right.
Exactly, exactly. It's not like a, yeah. I'm like, no, like, we can prove it. Like,
there's actual tests that will allow me to prove that I am a fitness dad.
So being able to have the time, because when I work the regular job, you work 3 or 4 hours out of an 8 to 10 hour shift. Trust me, you don't work the full time. So when I'm at work, like, I'm working. And then I get to train, and I get to be with my family, and I can go home at 11 and go take them to the water park. And you can't do that with the regular job. And then the weekends are always packed, so it's just, the freedom is awesome. And the ability to just kind of show them, like, there's so much to love out there, and find what it is for you.
Do you feel that that kind of carries over to your wife as well, like your relationship with your wife? Being an athlete gives you more freedom to spend time with her or to support her and do those kind of things also?
That's kind of a seasonal thing. As the, you know, like, right now, yeah.
You're not competing at the game.
Yeah, when you're not competing at the
game. Pretty available.
Yeah.
Thanks, honey. I'd love to do anything.
You know, it's one of those things where it, and you get closer. So, you know, you're two months out from regionals, or you're in the middle of the open training, and the stress is hitting where, you know, you're a little more focused. You're taking a little more time. You're talking a little more about it. You're listening to more, you're trying to learn as much as you can, and it starts to kind of carry over into, especially with the wife, of, you know, like, hey, you know, stop, or, you know, and you kind of have little things going on because you're really focusing so hard on your goal, and you're trying to remind them, like, hey, yeah, but for, you know, 4 to 6 months, like, it's not like this, and yeah, I understand right now it is, and if we then move on, yeah, it's another 2 months, you just kind of reiterate, you know, like, it is a short-term thing we have, I'm not going to be... I mean, unless I go masters, but
it's not the same.
Yeah, it's not the same. So the window's short, and there'll be a lot of memories from all this. And I mean, she gets that, but it definitely is. It's harder with our relationship.
What's it like leaving the gym? You know, you've just been lifting really, really heavy weights a lot, not practicing strict muscle ups, just doing all, like, testosterone oozing barbell work. What's it like to go home to three ladies?
Well, that's why I do it. I need to create a lot of testosterone. There's a lot of estrogen. It's actually like, it's a total 180. And like, my girls, they don't really understand the concept of, like, stuff that guys do. So we wrestle a lot. But, like, my oldest description of wrestling is, like...
How old is she?
6. She's like, all right, let's wrestle. You know, but you gotta lay down. And then pick me up and fly me like Superman. And I'm like, it's not wrestling. Like... We're just playing.
That's airplane.
Yeah.
Airplane.
And then the other one's like, wrestle, but lay down and don't move. But when I get close, like, tackle me. she just turned 3 2 days ago. So it's just fun. Like, I play all the time with them. Like, when I'm there, like, they're my little, I don't know, they're just, yeah.
They're your buddies.
Girls. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's Ben posts a lot of stuff of his boys. They're, what, 8 and 5?
8, 6, and then my girls are 2.
And the girls are 2. They're not quite old enough to make the Instagram account as often, but, you know, Ben's boys just live at the gym with him. You know,
yeah.
Like, they're there lifting barbells, being like dad. You know, do your girls look up to you like that?
No,
no,
no. The 3-year-old, yes. My 6-year-old is she loves So You Think You Can Dance,
and great, great show.
Yeah, she wants to be a ballerina, a dancer, an artist, a singer. So, like, she'll go to the gym and she'll do, like, 4 burpees and she'll be like, oh, I'm super sweaty. And, like, that's the extent. Then she's, like, playing, drawing something, doing something. My 3-year-old, though, can, like, hang on rings for an hour. Just grip strength is insane. But you know, everyone's always like, oh, they're going to be the next cross. You know, everyone says, next CrossFit champ, they're going to do it. And I'm like, no, they're not probably. But you know what? If they don't want to, like, that is totally fine. And that's all. Like, I don't push them to do anything. I show them new stuff. I'll show my daughter, like, oh, yeah, here's a PVC pipe. Let's do some stuff. But she loses interest quick, and that's fine.
Right.
So that's the biggest thing, like, giving exposure and letting them see what's out there and then letting them make their own decisions. I mean, when they're 30, they're not going to be worried about their – I mean, they'll be talking about, like, their volleyball career. But, I mean, it's going to be family. It's going to be career. It's going to be, you know, what your passions and hobbies are. So,
yeah. I mean, it's funny. People always – they always kind of – their default is to go to, oh, your kid's going to be the next, you know. And you're just like, man, I just – like, I like you know, if you must not have kids because I just want my kid to be exactly who they want to be. And if they show an expression or express an interest in something, you're just like, yeah, be really good at that mm-hmm. for now. And if you change, then that's fine. You know what I mean? I'm like your dad. Yeah. I'm going to support you in that. And so it's just funny because you hear that
oh,
a
I know.
Lot. You know what I mean?
And so. Mine are – well, the oldest one you can really see, it's, she's just a freak athlete. But
really?
She's never done an athletic thing in
got
her
it
life.
Got mama.
She's like we saw, so the problem is too. My wife kind of feels bad sometimes, so we put her up for soccer, and she got there and she's like, I don't want to do this. She was like, no, go out there. Got her to go out there. She ran back crying, and she's like, how about this? We'll get ice cream if you go and you practice today. She ran out. They kicked the ball around. And all of a sudden, she came sprinting back, and she said to my wife, she was like, I don't want to do anything where you have to kick a ball. And they left, got in the car, and she goes, but can we still get ice cream?
Yeah.
And I don't know if they did or not.
Negotiated
but,
tactic.
But that's the biggest thing with her is she's got a lot of fear. And, you know, if you allow that to just kind of push away and you step back from it, like, you don't do it, you don't find out. Because the things I tell her all the time, I'm like, weren't you scared? She's like, yeah. I'm like, but you're not now, right? She's like, no. I'm like, that's... You know, that's what we need to start to see is, like, you need to just experience new things. That's all I'm trying to do. So I've tried to get her to play different sports. She played T-ball, and I had to stay out there the entire game with her, like, literally next to her. Like, I grabbed the ball.
Like, out in the outfield?
Yeah, the whole game. I was the only dad out there. And, of course, I'm going back from working out. So I'm wearing pants that say Tupu really big on them. So, of course, like, what are they thinking? I've got, like, the worst shirt you can think about because, again, I'm not used to wearing them, so they don't match. I'm wearing Nanos, and everyone's dressed up, come back from work.
You're so embarrassing.
Yeah, and here's me, like... Oh, this is, like, I'm on the, like, everyone's wondering, like, what's he wearing? Why is he, what's pooed, and who's doing
this
it?
Meathead dad out
yeah.
there.
He pooed two times?
Yeah, what exactly.
Is don't wear those shorts again yeah. if that's the case.
So good.
So, but, yeah, my other one, though, I think is going to be my little athlete.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, again, if she wants it.
Maybe the next CrossFit Games athlete, bro, the next
hey,
champion.
We got, what, we got 2079? She'll yeah. be 65 over.
Oh, my God.
They'll have that at that time.
Off on that one.
Yeah. Well, dude, let's talk about that. Like, going into the future with the competition, what you've known, what you've seen, what you're watching this weekend with some of the athletes. I mean, it's very impressive. Every year seems to get just a bigger and bigger test, right? And Castro's on yes. record saying this is going to be the most difficult physically, mentally, forever and ever. Just keeps on getting harder. It's like, okay. Do you see... Like, what is most impressive to you about where things have gotten to this point from where they started?
Man, I mean, with last year, I think it took me 3 or 4 months to recover from the games.
We're hearing that from a lot of people. 3 months, 4 months.
Like, yeah, it was like I felt like I was never going to be strong again. I felt like I was never going to be able to do anything. So I just know, like, looking out there and, like, watching, all you're thinking is, you can't tell anybody. You can't tell anybody. Like, explain anything about, like, what's actually happening mentally and physically. And as you're breaking down, because essentially that's what's happening. You're breaking down through each workout. And you've just got to keep going as all out. And, you know, you add 5% of intensity, and yeah. you're destroyed. So right now, you can see it. Guys are getting beat up, but they're still just killing it. I mean, like, what Frazier's doing right now is insane. And that's kind of the biggest thing is you see there's still a gap, obviously, in different levels now. But it's unbelievable to just be able to witness, like, what's happening. But it's also having done, like I said, with the way I felt last year, it's almost right now I'm like, I don't want to go through that right now. Like, where I'm at, people have asked me, like, oh, how do you think you'd do? I haven't trained to do this right now in the last 2 months, so I'm not even going to put myself in that position because I would be dead.
Dude, Ben and I did a little scavenger hunt workout yesterday where we did like 10 by 10 calorie assault bike off and on, like him and me. 5 by 20 kettlebell swing off and on, and then like some strict pull-ups. And I was like, dude, I mean, CrossFit's all right, but yeah. Like, I don't know if I really want it. Like, I don't want to push that hard. Like, you really, and I think this is the hard thing for people out there to understand. The events look fun on TV. And some events are fun when you're doing. Like, I'm sure people, like, doing a 500-meter swim in the water, for me, like, that would be a legitimately fun event. But for the most part, they are extremely grueling, and you go into this mental numbness, right? And progressively throughout the weekend, like, that's a survival skill. That numbing yourself to, like, what's going to happen, not getting too amped up about it. And, like, you don't really get to enjoy the event as much as somebody that would do it one time or is watching it gets to enjoy it.
You enjoy them after the fact when you're watching them and you're like, oh, I remember that. But in the moment, like last year, example, Murph, I got no-repped a ton of times in the beginning of my push-ups. And I don't remember where I was, what exactly was happening, but it was so hot and it was so horrible. Like, the experience, it was the worst experience of, like, ever.
Your career.
Working out. And I was laying on the ground and I looked over and I saw the clock and it said 18 minutes. And at that moment I realized I'm probably not finishing in the time cap, but more importantly, I don't think I can stay out here for 37 more minutes. Like, physically, I don't think that my body can withstand this. And it wasn't the workout. It was the heat, the...
I suffocated.
Everything, yeah. Fortunately, I finished below the time cap, but it wasn't really enough time to be able to do a whole... Like, I couldn't get out of there fast enough.
Right, I'm sure. Yeah. Find the shade, dude. They tried to learn from that this year, letting them go early in the morning, but still.
Yeah.
A big question that comes up when people from the outside watch what's being done is question of performance-enhancing drugs, right? Is this possible for these athletes because not just of their training but of, like, extra supplementation, you know, steroids, growth hormone, whatever? You're a bigger, stronger guy.
Yep.
I'm sure you get asked that question a lot. A
couple times.
I'm sure you're getting tested a lot.
Yes.
Speak to your experience. Like, what are your opinions on it? What's the what's CrossFit's, like, interest in you for that purpose?
Well, that's actually an interesting conversation. I wish you were at the dinner table last night. Me and Graham Holmberg just had a long conversation.
Graham here?
Yeah, Graham's here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they came over to our place. We got a sick house out here. So we had a big cookout, and yeah, he was out there and we talked.
Must not have our number yet.
No,
I didn't have that.
We invited you.
Cool. we'll talk.
Just like he said he would be here for the podcast and you get the text message, see?
Right, yeah.
You got the text. I don't have my phone on me, so yeah, I can't really prove anything.
Convenient.
But anyway, we had probably an hour and a half, 2 hours about this, and you can go on and on and on. And the one thing I kind of started out saying to him was, you know, do I think it's here? Yeah, in some form or fashion. And for sure, yes. I don't know. I've never heard a name. I've never heard anything detailed. I've heard my name by other people.
I started that rumor.
Yeah, I figured it was somewhere around this table. That's why I'm here. I'm going to clear my name.
Clear the air.
But I really, when it got big for me was in the Open in 2015 when I won the Clean and Jerk workout. And I didn't win it, but it was like all Olympic lifters, and I was like seventh or something. And everyone below me was Olympic. It was like the first CrossFitter was like 50 places back at like 345 or 350 pound clean and jerk. I don't remember the exact, and I had like 375 after that Metcon. And it was like, that was all started, and within a week CrossFit tested me. And then I got contacted again.
Randomly.
Yeah, randomly. I wasn't on their list. So they had like their list they sent out, and I was not on that.
I'm on the list.
Yeah, well, I am now.
Yeah.
So I've been tested 4 or 5 times from CrossFit. And I think basically the interest is more because of the Open and, you know, what you see online. Some people have said, you know, I could post a 300-pound snatch and boom, I got tested. But
do you think that's legitimate?
What?
I mean, my opinion, I think that's legitimate. Like, you see somebody with a 300-pound snatch, it's like, okay, that's like a known benefit of PEDs is strength gain. So, like, shit. All right, somebody's snatching 300 pounds, why not?
Exactly. But I think that, like, we are the conversation was, that's kind of this also the ignorance of it, I think, is where everybody looks for the strength. But in reality,
months of recovery. Like, Lance Armstrong never failed a drug test ever.
Right.
He wasn't a big, strong dude, but he could. He had his lactic threshold, like, recovery, all these factors that you don't associate generally with PEDs.
Right, because they're not visible.
Exactly. So you go out here and you see, like, okay, what we're doing, like, you don't, you're not necessarily trying to get the strongest. You're trying to recover, stay healthy, you know, make everything work that much better at that much higher percentage to get more output out of the body. And to see somebody who lifts really heavy and then do a moderate Metcon and get destroyed, well, that doesn't make sense, right? Well, he's really strong. Well, yeah, I'm strong. Doesn't mean that that doesn't suck. Like,
right.
And then you can see somebody who's strong, never, you know, and then can do every, you're watching, I mean, the things you see, it's just, you question, just like I've been questioned. So the hardest thing for me to do is question somebody else, because it's going to get thrown right back at me. So I'm, if you literally lined up a ton of guys, I'd be one of the first people they'd point at. It's like, oh yeah, you're right, guard, for sure.
Because that's because of the way you look.
Yeah, exactly. The way I look, what you see online.
Right. Where you lift.
Yeah, so I mean, because that's the general thing. So of course, like, why am I going to then say, like, Graham Homer's on steroids?
Right.
Like, and he's just going to go, Nick, like,
say the pot calling the kettle black, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, like, come on, bro.
Yeah, so it's one of those where I would love to see, I don't want to say I want to see somebody get caught, but I would love to see not just some low random person, like, okay, yeah, we get this and that about that person, but still, like, is anybody at the top? Like, what do you know? If you know any, like, I don't, because I've heard some talks about certain people saying, like, I don't want to do this now because I know that CrossFit knows stuff and they're not saying anything. Now,
right.
Yeah, and that's one of those where you don't know. It's always hearsay.
It's right. So hard because, like, I feel like everybody who's kind of being accused of it are the same people who are like, hey, just test us all. Like, we want to be tested. We want to know, like,
exactly.
We want to know, like, are these guys as strong as I am, or are they strong as you are, because they're using, because you know for sure you're not, right?
Yeah.
And so you're like, test us all, make it public. And at the same time, it's just,
I know, it's tough because, like,
logistically, it's hard.
With me, like, yeah, I'm strong, but I always tell everybody, I'm not the strongest guy. I'm more technical, and I care about that, and I practice that a lot, and it shows. But then you go ahead and, you know, I don't know, it's a tough thing because I can't even take protein without gaining 10 pounds. I literally, during open and regionals and stuff, yeah, maybe twice a week I'll have a protein shake, but I just eat food. I used to take creatine and gained weight.
How big is your dad?
My dad's not big.
Mom?
No one in my family. My mom actually looks pretty fit. My brother, you can see that he could be. And my sister, you'd be like, no way. And my little brother is like 6 foot, 130 pounds maybe.
Do, like, any of them work out like you?
No.
Yeah.
No.
So it's just a byproduct of the training.
Exactly. So, like, people are like,
steroids.
Oh, genetics. Yeah, exactly. Well, not steroids. I would never take steroids. I mean, you got, there's other stuff out there. Yeah. So it's, I love talking about it, but again, it's just talk and, you know, what's getting done. I would love to know, because the biggest thing you say is, okay, in 10 years when we're all out of it, like, at this level, and then we find out, like, a Lance Armstrong, so-and-so did it, it's like, all right, well, did you take a spot for me for 5 years? Like,
right.
Did I miss out because you were able to do this and I wasn't doing it? Like, I don't even take freaking protein much,
yeah,
because I can't, and what does that limit me? And again, it's not the supplement, but I know how my body reacts to things, and, you know, for me, I'm like, I had a mantra growing up, if I can't do it on my own, I shouldn't be doing it, and I kind of live by that.
We've heard a few concrete anecdotes, not from anybody in the U.S., but in South America. People are doing a lot of, it's very easy to get hormone replacement. So people are getting, like, testosterone.
I've heard that.
Supplementation. And it's cheap. Doctors are willing to do it because they look at the markers that a CrossFit athlete comes in with, and they're low because they're overtrained, right?
Yep.
So you come in with low testosterone, they're like, hey, well, you need this, you know.
And it doesn't look crazy.
No, from the doctor's perspective, it's not malpractice. But the brain, you know, it's specifically stated in the rules that you're not allowed to do that, no matter how low your medical need is. So I feel like that avenue, that's not showing up in the regular testing,
yep,
necessarily.
Because your testosterone's not outside the normal.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what they're saying. They just get
yeah,
it right back to that number.
Yep.
Right.
And you're
so
good
you
to
keep
go
training. Yep. Right. So, like, you're seeing this, basically, the, from we've heard, that we know is actually happening, the advantage is gained not necessarily in over supplementing yourself with testosterone like a steroid would, but keeping you
at
your optimal level that you don't have to take a day off.
Yeah,
right?
Which would be nice. Well, actually, I would hate it. I love my days off, honestly.
like you can see how that could accumulate.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, instead of training 7 days, 5 days a week, you're training seven, right? And then over the course of 52 weeks, that's 110
a lot more
days of training.
Right.
Right? So then you're more fit.
So that's something that we've heard of.
I've heard some stuff about, like down in South America that, and the thing is, if you're doing stuff, but you're not competing, and you're not on a list, and you're not showing anything that says any crazy stuff, why would anybody ever come after you?
Exactly.
And then, then you get off, you change whatever, and then, boom, you do some stuff, you get on the list, and you're good.
Right. And, like, it's going to be really hard for CrossFit to, with the sport that encompasses, 150,000 people?
Yeah.
Right? On the male side? Is that what it is? No.
Something like that.
It's a huge number.
Yeah.
You can't test everybody. And they like that it's that inclusive. But some of the suggestions have been once you get to the regional level,
everyone should be tested.
Yeah, I mean, if you qualify, the weeks.
Well, what would you say then? Would you say everyone's just urine tested or blood and urine?
Probably start with urine.
Yeah, because that's the biggest thing. You know, everyone's always like, oh yeah, you don't find anything.
Dental. Pull a tooth.
Yeah.
Just yank
That'd be
a tooth.
Cheap,
right? Just yank a tooth, man.
Becca Voigt's got no teeth left.
Right. Yeah.
Poor
girl.
Tested so many times.
Right. The epitome of health. Just like.
That's awesome.
Like a homeless person.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, what are you doing the rest of the weekend besides the spectating?
This really, a little bit of working out. True, not tan, burned. I actually look probably pretty good right now, but just walking around saying hi, trying not to get out. I mean, not get out too much, but I feel like it's almost a little more valuable to be able to be out in the public and see people because
in
no
what
one,
sense?
What?
In what sense?
In that, like I said, the people that are here. Why are they here? The majority of them are here to watch these. I mean, you got the teams, you got the masters, you got the teens, individuals, obviously. And the individuals the most popular. And they want to get as close as they can to those people.
So you mean valuable from a fan perspective?
Yeah, fan perspective. And even for myself, too, because you get to meet so many people. Like, I walked by somebody, and my wife was like, did you just hear them? And I was like, no. And they go, I thought he'd be bigger. I'm like, I get that a lot. Like, except for an athlete. Athletes are like, dude, you're huge.
Right.
But, you know, spectators are like, dude, you're so much, you're not as big as I thought you'd be.
Dude, that's another thing that affects that steroid conversation is on video, you watch on ESPN, the girls look enormous.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just really not that big.
They're not.
I mean, they're shredded and
exactly.
Fine, but they're not.
They're not monsters.
No, and Rich. Rich is huge.
No.
Rich is not huge.
No.
People see him on TV and he's all kind of pumped up and looks big. You stand him next to an NFL linebacker. Dude is, you're a big guy, but what do you weigh? 205?
I'm right now about 195.
195?
Yeah.
So people see you online oh my God, your anchor is enormous.
I know.
But you're not.
Do you want to know who's huge? Fikowski.
Fikowski's huge?
Yeah. I had never met him and he's just this skinny dude. And I walked by, I was in Miami, uh-huh. And we had a Whole Foods, and I hear, Nick Urenkar, and I turn around, and I was like, holy cow, you're huge. Is that Brent? He's like, yeah, and you're smaller than I thought you'd be. And then I go, why are you so weak? And he was like, I got nothing. I was like, exactly, because I'm small, and I'm stronger than you.
Right.
But he's 6'1", 220.
He's 220?
I mean,
no way.
Don't quote me on that. I believe he's 215, 220.
Okay, that's
for
surprising.
Sure.
That's surprising. And
exactly. Better. But you see him online, and you're like, oh, it's a lanky, not a big guy. No, dude, he's huge. Huge.
We were just talking about that, actually, yesterday. I was like, oh, I'm going to root for Fikowski because he's built more like me.
You see him, he would eat you.
Yeah, apparently not at all. Apparently.
He's no Asia Barto, but.
Right, Asia's big. I mean, Spencer's big, but guys Tommy is thought of as a huge guy.
Exactly. Tommy's not.
No, I mean.
I remember when he actually lost a bunch of weight, 2012 or 2013, and then he ended up putting it back on. I need to just be me.
I need that. But all right, so you're hanging out, gonna kind of brush shoulders with the fans. You get to take some pictures, do all that.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good for your brand. Do you do anything outside of your gym, business wise, to try to take advantage of your platform as an athlete?
Not really right now. I mean, I've thought about different things. I get asked all the time, programming and different things you're doing, and I just try not to stress about anything. If it kind of comes along and I feel like that it's a calling for me, then I'll do it. But right now, I just I just enjoy this. I think I took a picture and somebody was like, oh my gosh. And I was like, yeah, well, I'm going to take every picture I can because eventually you're not going to care. Like, this picture's not going to be worth anything.
This is special now.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, maybe, yeah, every year, you know, who knows? You have no idea. I'm not going to be a rich where he's going to be walking around here at 75 like, you know, Coach B. Everyone's going to be jumping all over him.
Yeah, jazz to see him still.
Yeah. So it's just a fun thing to see people look and you're like, man, they know who I am. Like, that's crazy. I don't even do anything. Like, you know, we all say that, but it's true.
It's cool. And I'll tell you, man, you're right. I mean, I was in the games 09, 2010, 2011. And the year after that I didn't make it, in 2012, everybody wanted a picture with me.
Yeah.
Now, nobody really cares.
I know. That's what I was saying. Next year, me and Ben are going to make it or we're not. And then everyone's going to care or not care. And you don't know. And it's the thing. Like, it's a beautiful, horrible thing all at once. Because you're like, man, you feel on top of the world. And then all of a sudden, you're in the bottom of the ocean.
Well, you just got to remember that this is a very small world.
Yes.
Too.
You got to take it all for what it is. Yeah. You know, and it's not taking advantage of it, but it's understanding that it does make somebody's day, and it isn't. You are an inspiration, and that's not to say like when all of a sudden it's all said and done that you still can't be. It's just going to be at a smaller level. Or
I could see you starting like a CrossFit Strong type of following. Where, like, you do CrossFit, but, like...
I had thought about
let's
that.
Let's be really
like,
strong.
Purely, like, yeah.
You know, Rob Orlando did his strongman thing for a while, and he still does it. He's back this year, by the way. He did the Masters.
And he didn't qualify, or did he?
I think he qualified.
Did he?
Anyways, he was doing the strongman thing, but I feel like you could do, like, the CrossFit version of that. People would get all over you for that.
I've thought about that, and that's the number one thing people ask. Like, how'd you get so strong? How do you do this?
And still do CrossFit.
Yeah, exactly, and that's the thing is... You can, but we again talking the other night. Like, but yeah, go out and try to run 10 miles and then go squat heavy. It's going to be really hard to do. So, again, the more you do on one side, you're obviously going to sacrifice. And that's the nature and that's the evil that we deal with as athletes in this sport. So, but there are a lot of people who just want to get strong and then be able to supplement with, you know, a little conditioning here and there.
Right. Stay lean. Well, if people want to follow you and catch up on the upcoming CrossFit
Strong exactly,
program.
Yeah, exactly.
Where can they
thank
find you
on that. That's copyrighted.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Nick Urankar. My gym's CrossFit 061. Check us out if you're ever by Granger, Indiana, which is basically South Bend. And, you can email me, write me on any social media stuff, and I pretty much get back. May take a little while depending on how much stuff's on there, but
right. Any return correspondence comes with a shirtless photo of you.
Yeah,
right.
You can get a shirtless photo of me anywhere. Trust me. I actually think I had a shirt on one time. And they were like, "You take your shirt off?" And I was like, "Wow, okay." I'm like, "You can just go online and see all that." I'm gonna have to figure out though how to get a sponsor with a shirt.
Yeah, a body.
I'll have to
sponsor.
Do something. I'll have to do something.
All right, guys, follow us at BTB Podcast on Instagram and Snapchat. Beyond_barbell for Twitter, and download the podcast, subscribe to it on YouTube or YouTube and iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating. Today's podcast is at the games, brought to you by Reebok. We very much appreciate, and thank you, Nick, for being here, man.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
All right.